This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, it's Wednesday, everybody, and I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 12th, episode 2369, brought to you by Stateline Tack. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, you made it to Wednesday. Only 3 days left till a weekend full of horsey fun. Lucky for you, you have Jamie and Glenn to get you through on Horses in the Morning.
I dig it. I like that one.
Hey, guess what was yesterday?
Monday, Tuesday. Tuesday. I don't know.
It was Tuesday, and it was the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show in New York, the 144th edition, which means that it'll be recorded and coming out on TV very soon, and Jennifer will make me sit through hours of looking at dogs trot around in circles.
Really?
Oh, she loves that show. I don't know why, but just bores me to death. But
in any case, Basset Hound win because the Basset Hounds are the best in the world?
No, actually, I'm sorry to tell you that Basset Hounds nor Greyhounds actually even made it to the top. So you know how they go through all the breed things and then they pick the top seven of each category?
Yes.
Well, they did that again this year. And so the ones in the categories were a standard poodle, a Havanese. Havanese always seem to make it. Aren't they the little white dogs that bark a
lot? I don't know what a Havanese is.
A Shetland sheepdog, a golden retriever, a wire fox terrier, a boxer, and a whippet. So
I feel like there should be some bonus points for the people that have the hairy ass dogs. You know, like,
yes,
it just doesn't seem fair that a wire fox terrier literally requires no grooming at all, and it's always at the top. Where these people have these dogs, like
the standard poodle. I mean, they're the ones with the big puffs, you know. So yes,
I mean, you can clip those. The other ones where they're like combing it constantly. Yeah. Oh, it looks exhausting.
Yeah, the Shih Tzu ones with the really, really, really long hair.
The Maltese that's like completely white,
yes.
Like, and then they comb it. Oh, little mop.
They probably say, you know, they think the dog people say the same thing about the horse people. Oh, those people with the gray horses, that must be
a
nightmare.
Dude, that's true. That is very true.
Well,
gray horse people, I'm pouring a little out for you.
Well, in second place was the Whippet by the name of Bourbon. Won second place, the reserve best in show.
So you give it a bath. It's fine.
That's right. We have one of those in the neighborhood. And it's so cute. And in first place was Sibba, a standard poodle. So, Yes, the standard poodle won this year. That, believe it or not, you know Jennifer very well. That's the dog, if Jennifer was going to pick a purebred dog to buy, that's the one she would buy. She's always wanted not a little poodle, the standard poodle, the big one. And she would not give it the haircut. But she's always wanted a standard poodle. And from what I hear, the standard poodles actually make pretty good pets.
Yeah, they're really smart. They're like the second smartest dog next to a border collie, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. If they didn't bark,
write that
I'd
down.
Be happy. Just, you know, when you have greyhounds your entire life, you really get used to non-barking dogs.
So they never bark?
We heard Glory bark twice in the 10 years we had her.
Wow.
Two woofs, and it was because something was outside the window. But the neighbor dogs, who they have tied up outside, who we've called the authorities on several times, bark all the time. So there's that.
Yeah, I live across the street is two German shepherds that look like they want to murder you when you go to check the mail. I mean, I'm like scared, yes, to check the mail. Luke is like, I'm going to get the mail. I'm like, no, the dogs might get out. And they bark all the time, nonstop. Yeah, so I get it.
Well, on today's show, on the pre-show, we discussed how boring we are in pre-show meetings.
I might have freaked out a little bit at the end there, though.
A little bit.
Picking
little
out paint colors and carpet bit. Swatches. God, carpet swatches.
Time, I don't know why you're building a house. You seem to hate the entire process.
I have to leave, Glenn, right at 10:30 because the carpet swatch guy is coming over to bring me. I don't know. How am I supposed to pick what I'm going to
you
carpet my house
in? You don't even know what
in.
Color the walls are going to be because you couldn't tell what you picked out there. So how are you going to match the carpet?
Online, I don't know. Exactly.
Do it like
that's
in
what
Florida. Don't put any carpet in. Just have the floors.
I need carpet upstairs. So I'm picking out an entire upstairs carpet by looking at a 3x3 inch swatch.
Just pick tan. That's what it. Oh, you don't want tan. You have dogs. You can't pick tan.
See, I mean, can you do black carpet? Is that a thing?
Anyway, and coming up after the show, in our post show, we're going to be talking about Gwyneth Paltrow's diet. And it involves $500 salt licks designed for people. And it's called the Nay Diet. We're going to be talking about that. If you want to become an auditor, go to horsesinthemorning.com, scan down the right side of the page and click on the auditor banner for as little as $3 a month. Or you can also enjoy this quality entertainment.
I do maybe swear a little bit in the pre-show. It's not for children.
It's not for children. On Hit 'Em today, we have Steve Krause back to talk about Farrier accreditation. Jamie has some bad Valentine gifts and some weird news. Plus, we might have a list or two and some other things going on. I have some news for you, too. The exodus out of Wellington has begun. So I'll talk about that as well. Well, happy birthday to Justine Brooke, host of Heels Down Happy Hour, and also comes on our show on a regular basis to give us reports and updates. It's her birthday today, so happy birthday, Justine, who also lives in the state of Florida and is very lovely. And we also have a bunch of new auditors. Sarah Winfrey is a brand new auditor, I think as of yesterday, and she posted this on our Patreon page. She said, literally the best decision made ever. This is my favorite podcast network, and it makes me so happy.
Aw,
hey, Sarah, you make us happy for doing that. Kim Castillo, who was on the cruise with us and liked hanging out with us so much, he decided to join the auditor room. So hi, Kim. Marielle Jenquin.
Let me just tell you, if he messes up your name, it's like a badge of honor.
I got that one right. Marielle Jenquin. That's the way it looks. And Philip, this one, I'm not sure about, Perro. So Philip, welcome. I'm sorry I screwed up your name. And then we had a bunch of people raise their pledges as well. Monica Raymond, Julianne Roland, and Robin Donaghy, who did it right after the cruise. So she must have had a good time.
Yeah, they must feel sorry for you.
I know, maybe I look like we couldn't afford to buy drinks. I don't know.
We need to help that guy out.
My clothes were looking ratty, or I have no idea, because, you know, we don't buy new clothes very often, us horse people.
My daily Winnie goes out to a driver of the UPS company. Okay. His name is Mike Arcaro, and he was driving around and found a wallet in the street. Okay. And he gets the wallet and he picks it up, and it's full of credit cards and full of money and everything. What does he do? He takes it to the local UPS headquarters because he looks at the address that was on the ID in the middle of the street. And he's like, that's really far away in upstate New York. But yeah, here we are in like Manhattan, and this cannot be the current thing. So he goes to the UPS system and uses the UPS system to go and find her current address. Like, it's basically online stalks this lady, finds a current address, and then delivers the wallet to her house. What a dude.
And then got fired for using the UPS.
I was thinking that same thing. I think he's okay because he's now made the news. But yeah, so really, really nice. Sorry you lost your job for being a stalker. But other than that, great job.
Let's talk about Valentine's Day. It's coming up on Friday. And we've had this discussion before. I often wonder, if do you think horse people are less Valentine-y than regular people? In that,
if Chad walks in with some flowers on Valentine's Day, do you know what happens?
What?
He gets in trouble.
See, that's the thing. I made that mistake too before. And it's just like, well, you know, they're just going to die. That's the comment I get with that flowers. They're just going to die in a week. And
well, I think it was a picture that went out, like a dozen roses is the same as like a round bell.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. But the thing is, it's a no-win situation for us horse husbands. You guys expect something, but yet it's not for us. It's just not real romantic buying a bale of hay. And plus, we're not allowed to buy the hay because we messed that up. I literally am not allowed to go buy hay because every time she sent me to buy hay, I come home with bales that are moldy. It's not my fault. I don't pick them.
I think that's hilarious because Chad has been the one to go pick up our hay from a farm down the street, like, you know, 10 miles away. And so I went with him this time and we go and they were like, okay, well, we have the same kind we have last time. We have this one, which costs this much, or for $15 extra for the bundle of hay. This is a higher protein. And Chad and I both at the same time, he goes, the cheaper one. And I go, we'll take the higher one. I'm like, he goes, are you going to feed less because it has a higher protein? And I was like, no, but it's better. So that's funny you say that.
And this is why I'm not allowed to go shopping for hay. Plus, Jennifer buys about 4 different kinds of hay for feeding at different times of the day for different purposes. And of course, Scooter and Nigel have to eat completely different hays. So I just got to the point where it's like, no, I can buy the grain. I know what that looks like. It's a bag. It's the same every time.
Yeah. But, yeah. I'll let him buy grain now on, and I'm going to call ahead and order. But like, you put this on his truck, you put the high dollar one on because it's higher protein. They test it. It's way better.
And in my defense, moldy bales of hay are not always detectable when they're put in your truck.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Wake up. Yeah. So last night, Chad calls me and he's like, I need to tell you what I'm getting you for Valentine's Day. And I'm like, no. We're not getting Valentine's Day present. We actually have to buy furniture for our current build of the house. I'm like, we're just going to buy each other furniture. He's like, well, yeah.
Can I remind
you
that furniture also comes in colors you're going to have to pick?
I know. You should see the chair I bought. I bought a chair and it's covered in like dogs, like art. He's like, you just bought a dog chair. I'm like,
you're
yeah,
not going to have probably a theme, are you? This is not a themed house, right? This is just a haphazard, whatever you buy house.
Do you think I'm organized
no,
enough?
No,
to
no.
Okay,
no,
checking.
I do not. And I've been to your old house. So
I got a dining room chair at a garage sale. I told him, I said, I don't want any of our dining room chairs to match. I'm just going to pick them out. He's like, what?
But that is a theme, right? That's kind of a theme.
Actually, I don't know. I just thought it sounded
good
cool.
Idea, I think it's kind of cool. Yeah.
And so I bought one and
with
I'm like,
a table that doesn't match anything else.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to paint this. And he's like, no, you're not. I'm like, I'm going to refinish this and paint it. It's going to be fun. And he's like, you're going to hate it. But yeah. So he calls me last night and he's like, I got this gift for you, but I don't know what color. And so he bought me, you guys, heads up. If you're riding in the winter, the greatest thing you could possibly get is the sticky seat breeches that are the winter riding pant. And I literally have one pair because they're like $100. And let me tell you, they're worth it. I have one pair and I wear it every day. And he's like, I'm getting you another sticky seat winter pair of riding breeches. And I was like, oh, babe, that's so sweet. Are you telling me I smell bad? And like, because you're tired of me wearing the same pair every day. He was like, just take the gift.
Sticky Seat is actually the brand, isn't it?
The brand is Sticky Seat. Yeah, it's called Sticky Seat. And they have these little like, get out of your car super quick.
It's the full seat tights, right?
They have like knee patch, but they have like little silicone dots on your bum. And they're fantastic. And they're really thick winter breeches. And they're super comfortable. And they're like, they're not like, you know, sponsors or anything, but I discover them and I love them.
I bet
them,
they have them at State Line Tack.
Oh yeah, let's see. I bet they do. Yeah. So they're great. So anyway, so he got me those. But I did find a list of bad gift ideas that I thought maybe we could go over.
Do you remember any bad Valentine's gifts that you've gotten?
Women don't forget those things.
See, I was trying to remember a bad one that I gave, and of course we try and forget. So I was
don't remember those, but to the guy, the jackass that I dated when I was in college who gave me a freaking vacuum. Give me a break.
I remember one of those this year too. You're building a new house.
So. He gave me a vacuum for Valentine's Day. And I'm like 21. No. And it wasn't like a special vacuum. It was like literally a cheap ass vacuum you plug into the wall and like use it. I was like, okay. And
guy's still single, isn't he?
Probably. And then I got when I was 17, I had a boyfriend who was 18. Did it older, you know, and he gave me like one of those white turtlenecks from Walmart, a turtleneck, like a shirt, like a plain turtleneck white shirt.
He wasn't old enough to know the rule that you don't buy your spouse clothing either. Apparently, Chad's not old enough either.
Buy me something sexy, not a dang turtleneck.
Yeah, that's like the opposite of what you should buy, right?
Yeah, that's terrible. So I found
out. We're not very good at picking out appropriate lingerie either. So let's, you know, be honest.
You know, that's not a gift for me.
So again, the horse girl thing.
To play that, like, I got you this really uncomfortable thing to crawl up your butt. Not going to happen. I got you underwear that has no crotch. Nobody wants that. Okay. they say it on the list here that do not purchase your spouse celebrity fragrances. And that means do not walk in with, like, you know, a bag with a you know, like a bow on it, and you open it up and, like, it's a photo of Britney Spears perfume. Like, I don't need Britney Spears. I don't want to smell like Britney Spears.
We had this discussion on the cruise, and we determined that 99% of horsewomen don't wear any perfume.
No, I don't wear perfume. See? I do wear perfume. It's called alfalfa hay.
Yeah.
It's very, very expensive. Trust me, it's more expensive than that crap.
And the barn smell. That's the other one you wear from cleaning stalls. Yeah.
Those are my feet. I spray my feet with that. Household appliances. Do not get me a new toaster for Valentine's Day or a vacuum, something like that. Another one on the list is cheap garbage chocolate. Like, do not buy that heart thing that's at the grocery store. You get to the store, you're like, holy crap, it's Valentine's Day. Yeah. I have to go home with something and get those. They also have on the list those old grocery store flowers. You're literally buying the last flowers available. They're going to die by the time you get home.
Giardelli chocolate, though, works for Jennifer.
Get some nice, yeah, ones, something good, fancy. Yeah,
the good ones work for her.
Yeah. Fancy chocolates. Yeah. Do not go into the CVS and pick up some jewelry off the rack. It's going to turn me green, and I'm going to know that you literally was stopped at CVS on the way home to buy those flowers, that crappy chocolate, and that piece of jewelry that now made my neck green.
I made the mistake of going to, it was on the day, first day before the cruise. It was Super Bowl day. We ran around, we went to the Wildcat Rescue, which was very cool. And then they went to the aquarium. And I could not look at another fish because Jennifer drags me to aquariums and reads every plaque. So I skipped the aquarium and I thought, I'll go to Publix, the grocery store here, and I'll get all the snacks for the party we had that night, for the Super Bowl party with all the listeners. And there were no parking spaces at the Publix. There were literally zero parking spaces. And I thought, well, I'll just go to CVS. I am shocked. CVS has no drugs anymore. They just have everything else.
Yeah.
You're right. You can get anything at CVS. And now I know you can get jewelry. Let me write that down.
I just said, don't get that. Okay. Don't get that. Finally on this list, a very bad idea, which has been done by my friend's husband. Do not get your woman a gym membership. Red alert. Do not do that. It's a terrible idea. Here, okay. Babe. Like that commercial with the Peloton.
Yes.
Like, here, honey, I got you this.
Yeah, but
work your ass off.
She looked pretty good after riding that Peloton, too.
She looked good before riding the Peloton.
So I have some of the ones that I'm reading your post. You want to hear some of these from the listeners? So some of the auditors posted, my husband of 5 years, at that time, now 10 years, so she didn't get divorced, got me an art kit. It had colored pencils, watercolors, and crayons. I was 30 years old. Ask me how pissed I was.
Crayons?
Now, I have to tell you that I do every year, Jennifer actually likes to get an art kit for Christmas. So she does get, and she uses them. So,
do you buy her an adult art kit or one that says 6 and under? Okay.
One time, I did buy her the 64 pack of crayons the one time. So I was splurged.
No, she hates you, just so you know.
I tried to come up with the worst Valentine gift I ever got. Nothing came to mind. But I can tell you the best Valentine's gift I got was my dog, Rosie. My
we're so happy
with her
you.
11 years ago. Does a dog, is that a good Valentine's gift?
If it is breathing, it is a good gift.
Okay.
I mean, that's fantastic. Get me a guinea pig, give me a new horse, give me a dog, give me a puppy, give me a kitten, something like that. Yeah. That's a win. I mean, for me, but maybe not for everybody.
Oh, here's another one that I need to ask you about. We haven't done Valentine's gifts since we were dating. So do you think that's true of a lot of people, that they get married and no more? I mean, we don't do much.
I keep telling Chad, stop it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's a thing.
We don't do much. She said, I kept asking for a kitten, but that would be the worst gift, according to my husband. And I agree with him.
I would love a kitten.
I got an expired gift card to Jason's Deli 1 year.
Oh, snap. Divorce.
In his defense, I like Jason's Deli, but it sure isn't romantic.
Could you imagine going up and being like, I got this gift card, Jason's Deli, here you go. I'm going to give you the card. They're like, this is expired. Oh my God.
The next one, I'm not giving names out here either. The next one says, a Dungeons and Dragons manual. I don't play Dungeons and Dragons.
Here, hun, would you like a Dungeons and Dragons manual? Oh my God.
And the next one, I mean, she's just, this is a horrible nightmare for a husband. My birthday is the day after, so while I haven't had any really bad ones, I do tend to get the killing two birds with one present thing.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you're a husband. You can't win on that one. You have
yes,
to get
you
a
can.
Present each day. You have
two
to.
Things.
Yeah, you have to.
Two things.
You have to do it.
Yeah, you. Chad's birthday is right after Christmas, and it's like so annoying. But I take a big stance to make sure I have some birthday gifts over on the side and the Christmas gifts. And I guarantee you his birthday gifts are always wrapped in Christmas paper.
That's it. That was pretty much it. That's all we had posted there. So yeah, I don't know. We don't do much either. We usually either cook, and I usually let her pick what she wants me to cook. And I cook, which I cook all the time. So that's not unusual, but she actually gets to pick what I cook. And we don't go out too much on Valentine's just because I don't really want to fight the crowds to get in a restaurant.
Where would you go if you were to take her out to dinner?
Well, we have a couple favorites here in Ocala. We have an Italian restaurant we really like.
Okay, so would you would do something like nicer rather than...
Well, it's not going to be Burger King.
Dude, they have a playground.
Speaking of nice Valentine's gifts, you know, it's not too late to get a gift certificate from our favorite jeweler. This jewelry will not make you turn green. It'd be a little better quality than you're going to get over there
this
at the CVS.
This is on the list of good gifts.
Yes.
Okay?
And that's Kelly Hurd Jewelry. They have you covered. You can send your horse husband there. It's not too late. You know what? A gift certificate counts, guys, because then they can buy what they want. And if you use the coupon code HRN, you get 20% off your next order.
20%. Win.
And their jewelry is not that expensive. It's like some of the equestrian jewelry stores you see at these horse shows, it'll cost you $1,000 to buy anything. But
this is like, yeah, you can get really nice stuff. I think Chad bought me a ring from Kelly Hurd one time that I really wanted. And I like, you know, sent to him like 10 times the link. And it was like $100.
And they have a lot of equestrian jewelry. I mean, not all equestrian jewelry. You can get hearts. You can get mares and foals. You can get all different kinds of stuff. You can get horseshoe. Their horseshoe rings are one of the most popular things, actually. And you can find all of that at kellyhurdjewelry.com. Get a nice gift. Do something.
Help your man out. Send him the link and tell him HRN, 20% off. Let's do this.
Now, like Christmas, we all tend to buy ourselves a gift for ourselves. Do you do that on Valentine's Day just as an excuse?
Do I buy myself something on Valentine's Day? No. But probably when I worked in an office, a lot of us sent ourselves flowers.
Well, I did notice that at State Line Tack right now, Ovation's one of our other sponsors today. And they have, if you go to statelinetack.com, you're going to see an outfit yourself for less banner. And they have a sale going on right now. And it includes a ton of different breeches. And Ovation breeches are on that list. So you can buy all different kinds of breeches. They have pages and pages of stuff, 10, 20, 30% off. Some of it's 33% off. I've seen something on here for 40% off. I was always shocked at how many different breeches Ovation does have, like 1,000 different kinds. You can also find the Ovation Jump Air helmets on there, which are becoming very popular now. Do you have that one?
No, but I need a new helmet. What's it called?
It's the Ovation Jump Air helmet, and it's actually becoming very popular. It has a multitude of vents in the front, more than usual, so it's much cooler in the summertime. This would have been good for you in Arizona, probably.
Ooh, that's nice. Ovation fits my head so well. I like that.
And it has the dial for the snug fit. Do any of them come without the dial anymore?
It doesn't. Don't ever buy one without a dial. It's pointless. They're so comfortable. And like you have a ponytail or your hair, it's long or short or something. You can just adjust it. It's perfect.
Well, the other problem we have is when people come over to visit, if you don't have a dial helmet, you don't have a helmet that fits them. if you go riding. Okay,
that helmet is super cool. I really like the blue.
I thought you'd like the look of that, actually, the Ovation Jump Air. And they come in colors. Are you sure you don't want the reddish-purple one? I think that would be Lucas approved.
Like, I really like that one, too. It's very Terminator-looking.
It is. It's kind of Terminator-looking, actually. So that's the Ovation Jump Air helmet. You can find that and a whole bunch of other things on sale right now at StateLineTech.com. I actually could see you in that helmet. It kind of, when I saw it, I went, oh, she'd wear that. That would look good.
Looks so cool.
It's sporty. It's sporty. All right, let's go to our first guest, and that is going to, our only guest, actually, today, and that's going to be Steve Krause, head of Farrier Services, a lecturer in the Large Animal Surgery Department of Clinical Sciences at Cornell University. His entire business card is taken up by his title. Well, hi, Steve. Welcome back to the show. We appreciate you being here.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So now we're going to talk about something that I think confuses the heck out of most people. And some countries are different than other countries in this respect.
Yeah.
So we're talking about accreditation and certification of farriers and licensing.
Correct.
Is there a requirement for a farrier to be licensed or accredited in any way? Or can I just go out and start cutting horses' feet off?
Yes, you can. That's a simple answer, because there is no licensing requirement in the United States, and a license is defined as, a document that grants you the right to do something, just like the right to drive, for instance, and so on. And so licensing occurs in Europe, and you can actually get fined and locked up in certain European countries, if you are shoeing without a license.
Is that right?
That does not exist in, and that does not exist in the United States for a variety of reasons, which we don't have time to get into. But because we were worried about some government mandate forcing some kind of untenable licensing procedure on us back in the 80s, the American Farriers Association went ahead and established the first nationwide certification program to do it our way. And interestingly enough, we've had the people from Britain, Great Britain, come over and observe us at what we do, and they approved it. And now a person who is certified journeyman farrier of the American Farriers Association would be allowed to shoe horses in England if they register.
Okay, well, let's back up a little. You said, the association did this and put this in place to stop the legislation. And has it worked? What percentage of working farriers out there are going for this accreditation now or certification? Have it?
The certification is voluntary. So I would say it's a very low percentage, because we don't really know how many people are out there shoeing horses. We can guess that there's somewhere over 30, but not more than 40,000 farriers out there. And so there's probably only several thousand farriers that are actually certified or accredited. And they do this voluntarily to improve their skills and pass a level of certification so that they can actually, be confident in doing what they do, that a body has judged this to be, worthwhile.
Is part of the certification that they have to be hot, because that seems to be a requirement?
No.
Okay, good. All right, just checking.
It can be done in the live shoeing part of it. It can be done hot or cold according to whatever you want to do. So this is not to say every horse, needs to be shod with a forge or not, but it has to be shod appropriately for whatever horse that you're given, which may require you to, shoe a horse hot. But with most normal horses that are usually presented for this, if you have the right skills, you can actually shoe the basic level cold. The thing that the other part of the AFA certified farrier is, you have to present a collection of shoes that fit patterns of horses' feet with modifications, and those can only be done hot.
What, you know, it's funny because when I first met Jennifer, that's hot shoeing was the only thing. That's what we had, an old school farrier who was also a blacksmith, made stuff. So, okay. You know, hot shoeing was his thing. And I think 30 years ago, it was much more common than it is now, too.
Well, I think, I mean, again, the type of horse dictates not only the type of shoes, but the methods that's used. And as you get into bigger footed horses, the only way to fit them properly most of the time is by heating the shoes. Nowadays, we have more shoes with ready-made modifications than we had 30 and 40 years ago. So if you go back 40 years, a person who could take some of the very limited shoes on the market and put a toe clip or a quarter clip on and hot fit it, that person right there was considered an expert because that was rare.
Well, it's funny you talk about the different horses kind of dictate which horses will need hot fitting and so on. My farrier is a certified journeyman farrier, and she's amazing. And she comes out, and I have a bunch of horses like fairly recently off the track, and they're and a couple young ones. And she came out one day, and I have an older Mustang, and she usually just cold fits and puts the shoes on. But then with the Mustang, she heated up her forge and went to work. And I was like, wait, I didn't know you did hot shoeing. And she was like, I do hot shoeing on the ones that I think I can do hot shoeing on. And she's like, you're
well,
that
too.
Horses. Yeah. She was like, that's a little bit, it could be, you know, she's like, I just sometimes decide, you know, some horses need it and some horses can take it.
Well, that's one consideration for sure. But what you have to understand, there's a difference between hot shaping and hot fitting. So you may need to hot shape the shoes to do a better job, a better fit, or to do the modification. And the horse may not tolerate the smoke and sizzle or be ready for that. So you may hot shape, but not hot fit.
That's what I meant. Yeah, the hot fitting.
Right.
Yeah.
And or you may do both, depending upon what you're trying to do. The reason why you want a hot fit would be just to check your shoe, you know, to make sure if you don't have to do anything else to it. And if you have a clip or something, it's nice to burn a little place for the clip. And certainly if you have a perfectly flat shoe, you can, you know, see scorch the bottom of the foot to see where you have to level it more. But you know, but again, you know, there's a blend in everyday shoeing of hot work and cold fitting and so on, and certification, you know, the basic certified farrier takes that into consideration.
So there's a difference between being certified and a certified journeyman.
Yes. The certified farrier from the AFA is the first test. I call it the basic test.
Okay.
So there's a written test of knowledge, basic knowledge, a shoeing a test that, you know, basically a safety test. There's a score sheet, but basically what we're trying to do there is, are these feet trimmed properly? Are these shoes fitting properly and prepared properly? Are they nailed on and finished properly? That's, you know, pretty much the shoeing test.
So
to say, okay, this person can work for the public.
So as a client, and I have this farrier that comes out, what are some questions that I can ask them to see how deep their level of certification goes in, or if they're even certified? What can I say?
Well, you can go on the American Farriers Association website, you know, AFAAmericanFarriers.org. I'm sorry, it's a .org. And you can look up all the people that are certified to certified farrier and certified journeyman, which is a harder, more advanced exam. Okay. And so you can actually, if someone says they're a certified farrier, they could be certified by their school, which really, you know, I'm not allowed to test my students for the AFA. I can actually give them a dry run of the test, but I'm not allowed to certify them.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, if someone says I went to, I'm a certified trimmer or certified farrier, well, certified by who would be the question.
Okay.
And the AFA is the oldest certification program in the country. It dates back in the early 80s. They have a great website where you can look all this stuff up and find out all these requirements. And the American Association of Professional Farriers is another great organization that does accreditation and does credentialing for various disciplines of horses. So it's slightly different than the AFA's take on it.
All right, so I'm going to ask you personally, do you think that there should be a requirement for certification?
I get asked that a lot. And I, in a perfect world, I would like to see that. But unless you can enforce it, and no one's told me how they're going to enforce it, I can't tell you whether I'm for or against it, because it needs to be fair, not only to the horse owners, but it needs to be fair to the farriers that are trying to make a living at this. So I would like to see it done, but you have to have somebody that could not only grant it, you know, if you're going to have, that would be more like licensing, but you have to have a way to fairly remove that license and enforce that. And I don't see that happening. So until someone can tell me how this can be done properly, I can't say whether I'm for or against
it. Yeah, I mean, that would come back. Usually that kind of thing comes back to the association. So it'd be the AFA, which means they'd have to hire 30 more people just to do all this.
And right. You'd have to have a way to remove it from somebody. And, the difference between the AFA and the AAPF is, in order to maintain your accreditation and your first level of membership and accreditation is just going for CE credits. So you have to maintain 24 CE credits a year to maintain your accreditation to be called an accredited farrier if you're a member of the AAPF.
And that's true of almost any professional accreditation, right? You still need to get your continuing ed credits in, and whether you're a doctor or nurse or whatever.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the AFA does not require that. And that is probably the main reason why the AAPF got established. So I would like to see the AFA require continuing education credits for their certifications.
Got it.
I went online. My farrier is a certified journeyman, like she said. That's good. Okay. I went on AmericanFarriers.org, checked on her. She's legit.
And that's not to say that there aren't excellent farriers that are not certified. There are excellent farriers that are not certified.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no way, you know, there's no way to get it, encompass everybody in this country. But if someone says they're a licensed farrier, they may only get a license to work on a racetrack. Mm. And so to work on most racetracks in most states, you get a state license to work on the racetrack, which includes a background check, but also includes a basic competency test. And those are the only people who can actually say they're a licensed farrier in this country.
I didn't know that.
And that is just competent to be on a racetrack, competent to shoe a racehorse.
Right.
And that you pass the background check to be behind the scenes. So if anyone says they're a licensed farrier, I would question that.
Interesting. Well, this is a topic that's come up before. And one of the things that has come up and you see all the time is, obviously people having, for whatever reason, and a lot of time I realize it's the client's fault, there's a bad situation with the farrier and you really don't have any place to go back to. There's no court of appeals. There's nobody you can go to and say, hey, look, my farrier did this, whatever it was that was inappropriate. And again, granted that there's always two sides to a story, but even then, there's no place for both parties to go to solve that issue.
Right. Correct. And that is, I think, a gaping hole in this. This becomes down to a consumer problem and an animal rights or an animal welfare situation. So, obviously, if people are unqualified to work on horses and are out there doing it and hurt horses, that's an animal welfare problem. Should be resolved, but there is no way to do it other than don't hire that person again.
Yeah, you fire them, but that doesn't help the next person, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yes, something needs to be done, but no one, voluntarily people are going and doing these things, and those are the people who really care about what they do, and some of the guys that are very well qualified are either too busy or whatever, don't care about it, and then there's that whole bunch in there that probably would do well by taking part of this somehow. Some of the most successful farriers that I know in the country take part in these programs. And so that says it all right there. And part of the thing about license or a certification and accreditation is the amount of learning you do to get those letters behind your name.
Well, yeah, like anything else, you know, you're being educated. Well, like it's like we talked yesterday about getting your CDL, about getting your Class A license to drive your truck and trailer, which
right.
is being required everywhere now. And Karen
right.
got hers, and she said, you know, I learned how to back up. I learned how to do things I didn't know because I had to practice everything, you know, so.
Right, right. Yeah. And that's the good part about the AFA certification and the continuing education requirements for the AAPF. And then all those things keep you stimulated, keep you up to things. And you know, the other part of the AAPF's credentialing is those guys are tested on whatever horse show association rules they're going for, like the Hunter Jumper World has a whole bunch of shoeing things that they have to know. And so they're tested on that too. So if you blow into town and they're looking for a farrier for a reining horse or a Hunter Jumper, and if you go on the AAPF's website, you can find out who you can call that's been credentialed.
Okay. Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. I really appreciate it. And look, Jamie didn't hijack it today, so we're good.
Oh, hush.
So, Steve, what website can people go to find out more about you and what you do?
Okay, so you can either find us on Facebook, which is probably the easiest way, and that's, you know, Cornell Farrier Program, or you could come on the Cornell University Veterinary College's website and then search Farrier, and a bunch of pages will pop up for us too, the Farrier School, as well as the services we offer here.
Well, thank you again, Steve. We appreciate you coming back on all the time. We'll also put a link into the AmericanFarriers.org where you can look up farriers in your area that are accredited and have the certification. So we'll put that in our show notes as well. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
And the AAPF also, please.
Yes.
Because they're both wonderful associations.
Got it.
They have very, very valuable websites, both of them.
Terrific. We appreciate it. Go back to work.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Steve didn't get my joke. You got it, though, didn't you?
Yeah, we got it. All of us got it. But you know what?
It's okay. It led into a good conversation, but I thought I had a funny joke, and it didn't work. I'm sorry.
You told me before, you were like, don't make jokes with Steve. It's very serious. And then what do?
I tried. Listeners got it. And that should be a certification, shouldn't it? But anyway, let's go on. Ovation.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half-chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. OvationRiding.com.
Oh, poor Ohio man, Dan Kane. He was, he's been trying to figure out, he got a phone call from the post office. And the post office was like, hi, we can't get all this mail to you without you coming to pick it up. And he's like, what are you talking about? The postal worker said, it's not going to fit through your front door of the post office. Like, you have to come and pick it up. So he goes to the post office in Twinsburg, Ohio, and he picks up, oh, my God, 55,000 pieces of mail that have been sent to him in one day. And I mean, like, to me, I was like, well, was he like on a radio show, like in Sleepless in Seattle, and all these women are writing him?
That's a lot of flyers from the local car dealer.
You know what? Funny enough, he and his wife filled out like a loan application, and the loan company, College Avenue Student Loans, sent him by accident 55,000 duplicate statements addressed to him by a student loan company.
How much did that cost them? They could pay us around 10 times.
Is there no quality control? We're going to mail 55,000.
Somebody noticed that.
Nobody noticed. Oh my God. Nobody noticed. 55,000 duplicates. All going to the same guy. Nobody
Again,
along the
they
could have
paid off the loan with the postage.
Didn't somebody, lick the stamp or something? Like, how does that work? I don't understand.
Somebody carted the bags out. They couldn't have had 55. If it's a smaller company, they didn't have 55,000 pieces of mail gone out in a month.
Right? That's what I was thinking. Yeah. There you go. So weird news. That's what happened in Ohio.
That's funny.
We're going to go to Nigeria. We're going to go all the way across the world. This is something that would be a little intimidating to see. A hyena escaped from the zoo in Nigeria. I can't pronounce it. Nkere Owerri West Council area at the Imo State Zoo. Whatever. It dug a hole under the barrier of its enclosure. Okay. So this hyena digs a tunnel. Nobody notices the hyena back there going to town digging. And he then wiggles his way out of the tunnel that he has dug. And then apparently at some point, I guess rules are different in Nigeria for zoos, because apparently a year ago, some vandals messed up the perimeter fence and nobody bothered to fix that.
Oh, why would you fix that? You know, the tigers and lions, they don't care.
What could possibly go wrong? If you live near this zoo, you should move, because the hyena made its way out and eventually was captured and did not get hurt, and they didn't have to hurt it or anything like that. But yeah, loose hyena on the streets. Nobody noticed the giant tunnel that got out and then got through the broken fence. And that's why this is called weird news. Now we're going to go from Africa over to India. And this sounds like something that could be amazing. I doubt it, though, because residents in an apartment building in India turned on their faucet, right? Imagine you go into the kitchen for a glass of water, you turn on the faucet, and what comes out of your faucet? Beer, brandy, and rum, all mixed together.
You got a mixed drink coming out of the faucet.
In this apartment complex. Apparently the police station, the local, I don't know if it's just illegal, but they confiscated 6,000 liters of alcohol. Whoa. Okay. That was seized on court orders. And then what are you going to do with it? They buried it in a pit.
What?
Well, all of it seeped through the soil and went into the pipes, into the water system, the well. And, apparently they had to shut down the school. And the parents can go to work.
Kids
and like
were drunk,
everything had
falling
to stop.
Off their chairs at school.
But apparently the smell of beer, brandy, and rum together is
it
not
does not sound like a good combination, to be honest. Really.
No. But Jack Sparrow would be really happy about it.
That's funny.
Okay, our final story. I love it. I like look at these news stories and some sort of video pops up and starts playing in my head.
So I hate that.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
On that note, did you see Netflix is now going to stop showing the preview videos every time you hover over a show?
I know.
One of the most annoying things about surfing Netflix is every time you hover over a show, the preview video is starting to blast out at you. They're stopping that now.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, let's go to, we're going to wrap it up. Where do we usually wrap it up, Glenn?
Florida.
But I'm not going to do that to your state today. I think Florida's already in the news later on in your thing. So yeah. We're going to go to Tennessee. I mean, come on. It's still in the
That's
South.
Close to Florida.
And Spencer Allen Boston was arrested on Monday and charged with disorderly conduct and simple possession when he was at court. Okay, so he had already been arrested for something and he was in his court date. Well, he just added to his charges, and I'll tell you why. Spencer Allen Boston, at the age of 20, thought this was a good idea. He just asked to approach the bench. Your Honor, I would like to approach the bench. That's somebody who's seen way too many court shows, right? He approaches the bench and he wants to discuss his sentence. That's what they thought. But instead, he decided to tell the judge his views on legalizing marijuana and goes up to the judge and he's like, basically, I think we need to legalize marijuana. It's freaking Tennessee. And then he reached into his pocket, pulled out a joint, lit it, smoked it, and blew it into the face of the judge. And he was immediately taken into custody.
I love that stressful going to court.
What an idiot. Oh, my God. That is somebody's baby. Okay. That is somebody's baby. And they cannot.
Every time I see these stories, I think they have a mom who actually cared at one point.
At one point, she probably was back in the back. You tell him, Spencer Allen. Tell him what should happen. You light up that joint. You blow it in that judge's face. And you know what? I bet they would then make marijuana illegal because you really sold it.
But at least she waited till she got to the car to light hers up.
I love that the last sentence in this news story is Sheriff's Office Lieutenant Scott Moore said the courtroom chuckled. But it's unclear whether Boston lit up a joint or a blunt.
I got to go to jury duty next week. I am not going to get a case that exciting. You watch.
Oh my God.
That's so boring. I would love to have that. That would be perfect.
If you guys are having a bad day, just think of poor Spencer Allen Boston's mama.
That's funny. Oh, thank you for that. I actually have some horse news for you coming up here. You know who Shelley Francis is? She's a Grand Prix rider in the dressage discipline. She actually, in 1996, was the alternate to the U.S. Olympic team. In 1997, she competed at the 98, or she was selected to compete at the 98 World Equestrian Games in Rome. She also, last year, competed at all the Nations Cups for the United States around the world. So she's done pretty well, and she's called Wellington her home for a long time, and she has been one of two people to start the exodus out of Wellington to Ocala now. Remember I told you when the World Equestrian Center was being built that we're going to see people moving from a Wellington to up here because it's cheaper? Well, that's begun. She is moving her farm. She put her farm up for sale. She's the second one. Kimberly Van Campen, also based out of Wellington, put her farm up for sale, and they're going up here for a milder climate because it's a tiny bit. We're actually 10 degrees different in Ocala from Wellington in the summertime, so we're a little bit milder. There are a bunch of people moving out right now. She said, and I think they've had Shelley Francis on the dressage show before. She really is one of those unique four-star riders that actually trains her horses from the beginning. She gets them started. She takes them all the way through the process. Most of them don't do that. So she puts a lot of time and energy. She's very much into nonviolent training. And she moved to Wellington 16 years ago, and she said it's just too hot in the summer, and she has too many horses with non-sweating issues. And she said she's been considering it, and now she decided she needs to do it for the benefit of the horses. Because she said, I will probably save
some money.
And, you know, what you can sell a farm for in Wellington and buy up here is a lot different ballgame.
So, you know, yeah. I was like, I want to see who this person is. So I Googled Shelley Francis. Do you know that there's a Shelley Francis who is a professional wrestler?
No, probably not the same one.
Google image that.
Hey, I got news for Temple Grandin.
She's a badass.
Temple Grandin, too. Did she do her thing at Monty's yet? Have they done
that? No, that's in June. It's at the movement coming up. I am so excited to go to the movement.
So kind of give everybody a rundown of that, and then I'll tell you the Temple Grandin story.
I got to get the dates together. Give me a moment.
All right, let me give the story. So she teaches at Colorado State University. I don't think I have to explain who Temple Grandin is. But they just broke ground on the Temple Grandin Equine Center this morning at the College of Agricultural Sciences at Colorado State. They're dedicating the whole building to her. They're naming it after her. It's going to house the university's undergraduate classes for equine science, equine-assisted activities and therapies programming, and animal therapy research. So she said, quote, horses kind of saved me. Horses were one of the few places I was not bullied. So they're doing this, and they're going to have a huge therapy program, but they're going to study it scientifically. And they're going to really use evidence-based practices, so they're going to prove that it works, which is what colleges do, right? But they're developing this whole program and this whole building around that, and really around Temple Grandin's teaching and you know theories and things. So it's kind of exciting that she's having this done in her honor. She's been a professor there for a long time, so congratulations to her. And it's kind of cool that we're seeing money being put into the science of equestrian activities and ownership and all of that.
Mary Kitzmiller just recommended one of her books to me. So I just bought it yesterday off Amazon, and I'm excited because it kind of gives some behavioral, like, mm-hmm. I've got a horse that weaves, and I just want to know why they weave. So, and nobody seems to be able to tell me. So I bought Temple Grandin's book, thanks to Mary Kitzmiller. So the movement 2020 is going to be June 21st through the 23rd in California at Monty's Farm. Flag is up. And one of the speakers is, I mean, like the keynote speaker, the main speaker is Temple Grandin. I mean, how amazing to come and watch her speak. Now,
to have her and Monty together, too. I mean,
yeah. Do you know who else is going to come speak right now? I'm so excited.
I don't know.
Dr. Madison Siemens. I'm finally going to meet Dr. Siemens.
Really?
Yes, I'm so excited. He's like,
of course, he's a regular contributor to our show. And I was thinking,
and he's also the vet that I call on Christmas when I'm having emergencies.
We should have him on to talk about weaving. He always says it the way it is. It'd be very interesting to hear his take on that.
No, I actually, come on, like, I didn't already ask him.
Yeah, I figured you did.
And he was like, yeah, it's kind of a unknown thing. And then he talked to somebody else about it, and they said put a mirror in the stall. And so
I've
there's
heard
all sorts
that before, and I've heard it mixed reviews on whether it worked or not. And you usually do see it coming out of horses that have been stalled a lot and not out very much.
Okay, so this horse, just to tell you real quick, catch up on the weaving thing. It's a mare that came in for training from the Horse and Hound Rescue Foundation, and she comes and she's outside most of the day. But when I brought her in, she started weaving, and I have Dutch doors, so my barn is like super open and airy. They can see the horse next to them through the bars, and they have the Dutch door on the backside that can hang their head out the front. It is like really open and really friendly and breezy and great. So I love my barn. So she is in the stall, and she keeps her head hung out the back door of the Dutch door and weaves. Do, 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 weave, 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 weave. And it just looks exhausting. And finally, I think it was Stephanie, one of our listeners, was like, what does she do when you close the back door? Well, I mean, probably just the same thing. Nope, didn't weave yesterday. Make it look more like a prison. And she was totally fine. I put her in the corner and I closed the doors and she can't see anything and she just fell asleep. Huh. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's kind of
I don't
weird.
Know why she did it. And she still stuck her head out the front, but didn't do that. Nope, she just sat there. She looked exhausted. I was like, bless your heart. You can finally come in and just relax. So I don't know what happened, but apparently taking away all the view, like maybe it was she has had too much stimulation and it stressed her out. I don't know. But anyway, she didn't weave yesterday. I'll let you guys know how today goes.
Okay, good. And I don't know that that's something you cure, you know, in one session.
It's not that I think I'm going to cure it or stop it. I want to understand it and understand why she has the anxiety and see if I can relieve the anxiety. You know, just, right. You just want to make them happier and healthier. That's okay. What we all, that's our goal for all of them. And so I just want to help her brain, her poor brain. I'm like, oh, you poor brain.
All right, very cool. Well, let's talk about that. I wanted to talk about this. I came across this, and it's kind of my crappy list for today. I came across this, and I thought it was interesting because you and I have talked about dreams over the years when we've had some pretty weird dreams.
Let me just tell you, you're going to ask me about a dream, and this is going to get weirder. This is going to get really weird in a second.
Well,
go ahead.
There was an article, what are the most common nightmares that people have? And it was actually a study show. They interviewed 2,000 Americans and compiled the list of the most common nightmares. And some people, they said that up to 40% of people have recurring nightmares. In other words, they same one over and over and over again. I don't have that. I mean, we've all had bad dreams, right? But I don't have that. I think that's something that I'm glad I don't have. God, that would be a nightmare. But yeah, so you want to hear, I can give you kind of a rundown, and we could talk about which ones of these we've had, of like the top 10. I mean, they listed a whole bunch of them here. But the top 10 were, they have a nightmare about a loved one dying. Well, yeah, that's certainly a nightmare. And I think we might have all had that. A nightmare about sex. So there you go. Waking up late.
Oh, my God. I spent my entire 20s freaking out that I was going
to
miss.
You had to get up at like 2:30 in the morning, go to the radio station. Yeah.
No pressure.
Yeah. Missing an important event. Kind of waking. I mean, it kind of goes along with waking up late, right? Being attacked. I would have guessed that as being one of them. I think that's one we've all had. Feeling trapped.
You mean, hold on, like feeling attacked, like
being
you're
attacked,
laying in bed.
Like somebody's attacking you.
kind of like what happens when I'm laying in bed all by myself. Chad's on a trip. And this has happened probably 15 times. And I said, if it ever happens again, we're going to not play video games for like a year. Is I'm sleeping nice and soundly and calmly. And I feel somebody tap, tap, tap on my forehead. I mean, you want to talk about scare the ever living.
Lucas fly across the room?
It was close. Like, I mean, it's never good to wake up your mama and she screams bloody murder, but it was like a, can you hear that?
Yeah, that'd wake you up.
Excuse me. If you tap me on the forehead one more time, child, we are going to have a problem. And I think it was like 15 times before I finally, the screaming subsided. He doesn't do it anymore.
Feeling lost. You know, you're lost in the woods or you're just lost. Death. Well, you would think that would be a nightmare, right? Being chased. And the number one is falling. 65% of people have reported having a nightmare falling. And I have had those where you're falling off a building. You're falling for whatever reason. In my case, because I have a bridge phobia, I have had falling off a bridge. So
when my dad lived, when he first divorced my mom, he like went all crazy and like got a high rise apartment condo in, you know, downtown Atlanta. And it was like the 35th floor or something. And I couldn't sleep there because I dreamed I was falling the entire time. I wonder if other people are dreaming they're falling because they're like, in, you know, a pie.
Yeah.
Sleeping.
I mean, yeah. It was interesting too, because the study went on by gender and showed the percentages by gender, like the loved one dying, women are 60%. More likely to have that particular dream than men. So
what about the one that where you're being attacked?
It was even 50-50.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too, because I thought it would be more women that way, but then men fight in wars too, so who knows, you know? So, you know, that probably, I don't know how much of that accounts for. The other couple interesting ones were bugs crawling on you, I think. Oh, we've all had that one. Inability to find your car. I have had that one for real. I don't even mean a nightmare. It took us an hour to find our car after the one cruise. Fire, burning down your house, ghosts, aliens, or paranormal entities. By the way, that one was 50-50.
All of these rank as just normal everyday anxiety for me. Like, I don't need to dream these. I leave the house and I'm like, oh my God, my house is going to burn down. Did I turn to the oven? Whatever. It
doesn't
matter.
There were a couple that went really morbid that you're killing someone.
Oh God.
I don't know what that says. Taking or feeling unprepared for an exam. Thank God I haven't had that one for a long time.
I do that every night before the show. Completely unprepared. What?
And then teeth falling out. And for some reason, women are more likely to have that than men.
I don't know what that means, but I've heard about that one.
Yeah, and then technology malfunction. Men have that a lot more than women. It's like 65%.
Glenn, would you lose your mind if Netflix quit working? I mean, seriously, what would you do?
Well, no, I have the technology malfunction because it happens all the freaking time on this show. So.
See, it's real life anxiety.
It happened on
for
Monday. It's like, yes, I have that one. I was trying to think of ones I have that are recurring. I've had some certainly weird dreams. We've all had weird dreams, but I don't have recurring ones. I've had the falling one. I can say I've had the being chased one. Feeling lost. Losing my car was real. It wasn't a dream. And now I've marked on my Google map where I parked the car. So I don't
That's
lose
really,
my car
yeah.
anymore.
Thank God for that. Phones. The thing about it, people telling you their dream, like, oh my God, I got to tell you the dream that I had last night. And it always ends up the exact same. And then I woke up, right?
Right,
so it's
right.
Like other people telling you their dreams is kind of boring. However, I'm going to tell you what I dreamed last night because it's just got weird. Because we did not plan to talk about the movement, right? And we did not plan to talk about the weaving and did
you
not
didn't
plan.
You know I was bringing Temple Grandin up.
Nope, we did not know that you would be talking to me. You should ask Dr. Siemens about the weaving. And I'm like, I already did, which is why I had a dream about Dr. Siemens last night. And it was a nightmare because, okay, this is really sad. I really need to get out of this house.
Was he chasing? Well, let me go through him. Did he push you off of something high?
No, it's really stupid. So, I mean, it all ends the thing. And then I woke up. No. So Madison Siemens, Dr. Siemens, who's like, you know, the expert vet that comes on our show all the time. He's very nice, very funny. I dreamed he was coming for a visit and I didn't have anywhere for him to stay in my tiny house. And that was my whole dream, was like, oh my God, Dr. Siemens is coming to visit me, but I don't have anywhere to put him. Am I going to have him like sleep on the floor? Like, I mean, he came and I was like, this is where you're going to stay. And I was so embarrassed.
Did he end up in a stall?
No, and then I woke up, Glenn. All had the same.
Beside the swaying horse.
How weird. We didn't plan to talk about any of that. And you're like, bring that up. And now I look like a freaking psycho stalker. Thanks.
That's funny. And you know what's worse is when you have a dream, it's so vivid. And it's involving one other person. And it's so vivid. And something bizarre happens. And you can't recognize the person. And you're trying so hard to see their face. And you know,
or you see somebody
you know.
And you're like, oh my God, I dreamed about that guy. All right, let's wrap this up. Right. I got to look at carpet swatches.
I got happy news for you. So okay. I have a happy story to end the day. And my happy story involves a 75-year-old named Linda Herring from Johnson County, Iowa. She was just honored for being the foster parent of more than 600 children over five decades. She first began fostering kids. She was running a home daycare and working as a night custodian at a local high school. And she also volunteered as a first responder for 50 years. She's done all this and had 600 foster kids. I love this. She said that she mostly fostered young children and children with special medical needs and kept bins of clothes in her garage, apparently stacked to the ceiling, labeled by size and gender. So every kid had clothes to wear. And she did mostly young children. But what she also did is she had a professional photo taken of these children, had it blown up, every child that came into her house, and put it on the wall so it would, for them, they would see their own picture on the wall and they would associate them then being home. So, I mean, just apparently she did little things like that with all the kids to make them feel like they were at home. So they are honoring her. She's retiring from fostering children now at the age of 75 and apparently medical reasons. But so I give her my happy story today.
That's a happy story.
That's a lot of commitment right there.
Yeah.
Mary Kitzmiller and Jennifer, Coach Jen, are tomorrow's show. And then Friday, we have some really bad ads, and we have some great new prizes to announce for next week, or for this month for the prizes, and we're going to go over those on Friday, too. The auditor's got a special sneak peek of that. It's $600 worth of prizes this month. So get your ads in to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. And coming up, if you're hanging around as an auditor for the post show, we're going to talk about $500 salt licks designed for people.
Spay, neuter, geld.